Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. In 2010, our old friend Natalie Merchant released a successful album of new songs based on 19th and 20th century British and American poetry called Leave Your Sleep. She was inspired to create it after reading classic poems to her newborn daughter. Merchant always envisioned the album as a children's book and was put in contact with acclaimed illustrator Barbara McClintock. The new book, also called Leave Your Sleep, is published by FSG. Natalie Merchant, it's a pleasure to welcome you, old friend of WAMC, back to WAMC.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. So let me start by telling you that there's poetry, which happened in, you know, independent colleges, and then there's, you know, poetry, which is fun. And this book is fun. Did you have fun writing it and selecting the poems that were going to be in it?
Well, I had a great time adapting them. And there's a mixture of fun and more serious poetry because I thought of it more as a work about childhood as I was working on it. But it has evolved into this beautiful children's book.
Do you have a copy in front of you?
I did because my memory fails me at times. So
mine too.
I can now discuss the titles.
Mine too. Could you go to page 14?
Page 14.
And read us Bleezer's Ice Cream.
That's by Jack Prelutsky.
Yes.
I'm Ebenezer Bleezer. I run Bleezer's Ice Cream Store. There are flavors in my freezer you have never seen before. 28 divine creations, too delicious to resist. Why not do yourself a favor? Try the flavors on my list. And then he goes on to list.
No, now that's where it gets good.
Coco Moco, macaroni, tapioca, smoked bologna, checkerberry cheddar chew, chicken cherry honeydew, tutti frutti stewed tomato, tuna taco baked potato, and it goes on and on.
Boy, it's terrific. Lobster, lychee, lima bean, mozzarella, mangosteen, almond, ham, meringue, salami, yam, anchovy, prune, pastrami, sassafras, souvlaki hash,
sukiyaki succotash,
and it goes on. It's great stuff, and I can just hear kids memorizing this and doing it at the dinner table, and faster and faster and faster.
It comes with a CD of 19 songs, and this particular song I recorded with Wynton Marsalis and his quintet.
Wow.
I am Ebenezer Bleezer. I run Bleezer's Ice Cream Store. There are flavors in my freezer you have never seen before.
It really cooks, and I told him I wanted it to sound like a juke joint from New Orleans in about 1956.
Do yourself a favor, try the flavors on my list. I got Coco Moco, macaroni, tapioca, smoked bologna, checkerberry, cheddar chew, chicken cherry, honeydew, tutti frutti, stewed tomato.
I was hoping that the music that I wrote for each of these poems would transport kids to the time and place that the poet imagined.
So what's your favorite poem in the book?
Oh, favorite poem in the book. Well, I have different ones, of course, for different reasons. I love Vain and Careless.
Could you read us that, a little bit of it?
Lady lovely, lady, so careless and so vain. This one's by Robert Graves. Once when a beggar called, she gave her child away. The beggar took the baby, wrapped it in a shawl. Bring it back, the lady said, the next time you call. Hard by lived a man, so vain and so proud, he would walk on stilts to be seen by the crowd. Up above the chimney pots, tall as a mast, and all the people ran about shouting till he passed. A splendid match, surely, neighbors saw it plain, although she was so careless, although he is so vain. But the lady played Bob Cherry, did not see or care, as the vain man went by her, aloft in the air. And then here's the moral. This gentle-born couple lived and died apart. Water will not mix with oil, nor vain with careless heart. For me, when I read it like that, it sounds a little lifeless. But when I sing them, I give them this emotional framework and context. And that's the reason I did the project.
Bright as a comet, he's mad. points a toe, bends a knee. Nothing that moves on land or sea will seem more beautiful to me.
I feel like sometimes poetry is difficult, especially for children, to enter into and to really absorb. But with the music, they can hear the internal rhythms and they can hear the rhymes, and it's and like I said, there's the music surrounding it and framing it, so it really draws them in.
Now, you love poetry. How did that happen?
I was slow to come to love poetry, and maybe that's the people who struggle with poetry are probably the best to understand those difficulties. I think I didn't really appreciate poetry until I was in my 30s. I mean, I loved rhymes as a child.
I didn't even know you were in your 30s yet.
Not so, Ellen. I'm fast approaching the 50s.
Tell me about Barbara McClintock and how it is to work with a co-author, an illustrator, when you're picking poetry. Did you have to have meetings and discussions and, no, I like this, and no, I don't like that?
Well, when Frances Foster, who's our publisher and editor, when she contacted me about doing the book, she suggested Barbara, and I already own about 7 of Barbara's books. So I was really familiar with her work and really a big fan. Her work is classic, and she is an incredible technician, in addition to just she's a very soulful artist, but technically her drawings look like they are from the 19th century.
Is there anything in the book that gave you pause in terms of subjecting a young reader to the poem?
No, the original work that I recorded for Nonesuch was a double album, and it had 26 poems. And there was one poem by a poet from New England, Lydia Huntley Sigourney, called Indian Names, which was really sophisticated. That I left off this collection, and another by Jared Manley Hopkins called Spring and Fall to a Young Child, about an adult trying to explain, I think it's about a child having death explained to her, but in a very abstract way, as Jared Manley Hopkins would write a poem. And I left both of those off this collection. We focused more on an audience of children from ages 5 to 12, so more of the nonsense poetry is in this collection. And there are a couple loss of innocence poems in here, but they're pretty gentle. There's one about a little boy who gives a sailor instructions to bring him back some exotic things from far away, like a fez and a parakeet. And he goes away, but then doesn't return. So that's the loss of experiences. The boy standing on the quay waiting for the sailor to return, who doesn't return, obviously because of war.
Hmm. Well, Grimm's fairy tales scared the hell out of me. Bambi, I think, is responsible for much of my emotional distress in life. And so you have to pick very carefully, don't you?
Well, children have immense capacity for feeling. And I think sometimes people don't acknowledge that. I think subtlety can go a long way with children, and it's one of the things that really, you know, now that I have my own child, he's very insulted when people are not aware, you know, people who create entertainment for children. She's very insulted when they're not aware of how sensitive she is. I can't take her to most films that are intended for children because they're just too fast and too violent, and a lot of the humor is too adult. So it's really wonderful to share these works that were written for children in a different era, when childhood was regarded differently and children were regarded differently.
Did you beta test your book with your daughter?
She lived with the project for her entire first 6 years. And, well, actually her entire life, 10 years now, because she was there all during the adaptations and the recording. But now she's also lived with it through the book stage. And she really thinks of it as her project, too.
is wonderful.
Well, Natalie Merchant, it's a wonderful book. It's a beautiful book. The illustrations are great. The singing is great. And we just, as always, love you and wish you all the best with this.
Well, thank you.